You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're going to talk this morning about the permissibility on Shabbos to handle and move books, science textbooks, science books, and we're going to expand from that to talk about maybe microscopes and telescopes, astrolabs, which the Rishonim spoke about and the Shulchan Aruch speaks about directly. We'll see what an astrolab looks like because I could show you nice pictures, being that we're on Zoom right now. And the question that we have in terms of reading, certain reading materials have shifted over the past few years, I think, because, as I mentioned a moment ago, now with the advent of so many Jewish periodicals, that seems so frum to and appropriate to read on Shabbos like the all of our local Jewish periodicals. It seems when we it's different than the Washington, you know, the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal, actually, I should say, and the New York Times, where there are separate issues which we're not going to go into in terms of printing on Shabbos. That's a totally different issue. We're not going to discuss that. But as far as the questions of the appropriateness of reading things in general, that's what we're going to talk about. But I don't want to talk about appropriateness. I'm only going to talk about halacha. Remember, there's a halacha shiur, not a, there's not mussar, there's not hashkafa, it's just halacha. Although we're going to go into some fascinating history, that happened in the 1300s in order to appreciate some of the fine points of this topic. And let's begin with the following. The discussion in the poskim starts with the question that the Rashba was posed with, and that is an astrolabe permitted to be used on Shabbos? So in order to discuss what an astrolabe is and whether it should be permitted to be discussed on, to be used on Shabbos, we have to see what an astrolabe is. So allow me to share with you the following screen. Okay, so these are this morning's shiur. There we go. The title that I have on my sheet is From Astrolabe to National Geographic. Are you allowed to read National Geographic magazines on Shabbos? And science textbooks and other textbooks and books in general that relate to all kinds of history and scientific inquiry. So this gentleman, if you see on the screen, is a very nice picture of an astrolabe. And the point of an astrolabe is if you turn the various plates, if you notice there are plates on top of plates, there is at least two plates that I see, and then there's that dial on top. So if you adjust each of the plates to the appropriate time of the year and time of the month, then you could configure for yourself what the skies should look like on a given night of the year and of the month. That's what an astrolabe is. So the Rashba was asked, is it permitted to look at an astrolabe and to use an astrolabe on Shabbos? And the way he answered this question is quite fascinating, and the equation that he's going to present to us is going to be very definitive as far as his position on terms of, as far as can I read science textbooks on Shabbos? So let's see what the Rashba says. I know we have a lot of doctors on the line, we have some scientists on the line, so this is certainly very halacha l'maisa for all of you. Maybe there are doctors who try to avoid reading anything medical on Shabbos, and maybe there are doctors who enjoy reading medical things. So it could be going two directions. I have a brother who is a computer scientist, and because he works in computers and programming all day, he wants to have absolutely nothing to do with the computer the moment that he gets home. So everybody has their own way of separation between their work and their play. So let's see what the Rashba says. So this is a Rashba that appears in the Tshuva in two different forms, in two different places, but I chose the easier Tshuva. The Rashba says in source number one, Mutter v'Shabbos labit ba'astrolab. You can. It's permitted to use an astrolabe on Shabbos. First of all, the Rashba points out to Klihu. That's interesting. It's a Kli. Fascinating. Why is that fascinating? Because I might have thought that a Kli, you've heard me use this term before many times, that a Kli is usually an instrument to do something with. A Kli is something that you want to bang a nail in, you want to reach something far, you want to do something with an instrument. That's the definition of a Kli, I might have said. Here, you see that you're not doing anything with it, you're just using this to understand, to be able to see, to be able to match what's in the sky, to what's on the plates of the astrolabe plates in front of you. And to call that a Kli, I think, is a Chiddush. Okay. Nevertheless, the Rashba says, this is a Kli. This falls into the definition of a Kli. And once it's a Kli, of course, that it, even if we consider it a Kli Shem Alach Tala Isser, it still has the Heterim that are associated with the Kli Shem Alach Tala Isser being able to be used. Letzarech Gufo. Fine. Now we'll look what he says. Now that we spoke about an astrolabe, continues the Rashba, V'kol Shukain, She'ein Ela Ke'echer Mitzifrei HaChachma. This astrolabe should be no different than a science book. Look at what he said, and this is a great line. Really, I think it's the greatest line of the shiur. From here, it's going to be downhill. Not really, but at least in terms of the lines, the sound bites. The ma hefresh yesh ben kosov, Russian beluchos nechoshes beis barzel, the kosov besefer. What's the difference, gentlemen? Look at this astrolabe. You see all those markings that are etched by a hard metal etcher, chisel, that etched into these metal plates? Says the Rashi, what's the difference between looking at these etchings that were etched by a metal pen into the metal plates that you see in front of you, to the etchings of words on a paper, on a piece of paper that tell you other scientific knowledge? And therefore the Rashba equates looking at an astrolabe reading, and reading an astrolabe should be mutter. There's nothing wrong with reading. Reading is nothing wrong with reading. Reading is a permitted activity on Shabbos, and you can read the etchings on the astrolabe, and therefore there's no difference to be able to read the readings of any other book that tells you about the skies or the body or any other areas of science, and maybe things other than science as well, as we'll see in a moment. Now the Rashba says, wait a second, maybe there are some other issues that we have to deal with when it comes to an astrolabe. Excuse me, I said a bracha earlier. Says Rashi, but maybe we should be worried about the following concerns. Maybe we should be worried, if you look at these, this diagram, that's why I wanted you to see the diagram so you could see the physical construction of Nashville. You see there are plates that are one on top of the other. So says Rashi, maybe you should be worried that it should be a gzeira. Vimishum gzeira siluk haluchos. You could remove the plates and return them. Maybe that should make it out. So we should make a gzeira. Don't use the astrolabe because you might come to remove and replace these plates. Says the Rashba, why should that be a problem? What's wrong? Even if you want to make a gzeira, you might come to remove the plates. Who says you're not allowed to remove the plates in the first place? Maybe you can remove the plates. Why should it be any different than a certain kind of bed that was a collapsible bed? We're not going to go into the specifics. Where the halacha is that as long as they're not connected, like screwed in tight, as long as it's rough way, it's easily disassembled, it's mutter. So if these plates are not screwed in tight with another, there's no problem disattaching them if they're not held tightly. And if you're worried that the astrolabe should have its own problem, again, this is not a problem with the book, but if you're worried about an astrolabe being a problem that is mechzik bona, well, you and I know that ain bona bekelim, as the Rashba concludes, ain vinyah v'stir bekelim. So we're not worried that you're going to disattach it because that's not called bona. There's no bona on a kli. And therefore, the Rashba says it's clear to him, he doesn't seem to have to do too much convincing. It's mutter to use an astrolabe, and it should be no different to use, to read any science book. The Rashba doesn't see any difference. Just by the way, feel free, you're welcome, even though you're not in front of me, you're welcome to interject, just unmute, I muted those of you who are unmuted, feel free to unmute yourselves and speak if you'd like at any point. Okay, so the Shitas HaRashba, we can stop right now and go home and take out our science textbooks, our National Geographic, and maybe just about any other reading material, almost any other reading material, let me rephrase it, any appropriate reading material, anything that's inappropriate, as the Shulchan Aruch will point out later, if it's inappropriate on Tuesday, it's also inappropriate on Shabbos. But if it's appropriate reading material, then take it out and read it and enjoy on Shabbos afternoon. But now, Rabbosai, we encounter a totally different perspective, and that is based on the following Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah on the bottom of your screen. On the bottom of your screen, you have the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Shabbos that talks about guest lists and menus. And this is a halacha that many women are not aware of. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to have a guest list with a menu list and what you're serving for your Shabbos meals written and used on Shabbos. You can't list off, okay, so it's a 3-day yontif, now we have this meal, this is the appetizer, and this is the soup, and these two salads we're going to use, and this is the kugel, this is the side we're going to use, we're going to have this chicken and that pastrami, and I don't want to get mixed up from meal to meal. So the Mishnah says, Mona adam et orchav et parperos. If you could count your guests and your food items for the meal, mipiv, verbally, and with your mouth, avalo min haksav, we're not allowed to do it from writing. What's the problem? Says the Rambam in the Perusha Mishnah, the reason why it's also drabbanan to read the menu and your lists from the page, from the written page, is because it's a gzera, because you might come to read igaros b'shabbos. You might come to read letters on Shabbos. And it's also to read a letter on Shabbos. We know that the concept of shtari hadyotos. Let's see what the Rambam says and see how strongly he writes this. Look at what the Rambam writes in the Perusha Mishnayos. Shekol, everything, all reading material, zulas sifri hanavua uperishayhem, aside from Torah, all reading material aside from Torah, also the Kroso, lo b'Shabbos, v'lo b'Yomtov, v'afilu hayobo divrei chochma umada. Even though there is wisdom there, even though there is science there, it is all prohibited. All reading material on Shabbos, other than Torah, is prohibited. And this, Rabbosai, is a far opposite cry than the Rashba, who told us a minute ago that, hey, everything's mutter to read, right? What's wrong with reading? The astrolabe is nothing other than reading a book. Everything's mutter. And here the Rambam comes and tells us that all reading material is prohibited aside from Torah material. I think what makes this so incredible is if we think about who the Rambam was and who the Rashba was. And now we're going to take a quick 3-minute history lesson to go back 700 years to the 1300s to see something that was incredible in Jewish history. And in a certain way has, on some level, been maintained as two traditions in the Jewish community since then. Who is the Rambam? I don't have to tell you. The Rambam, of course, we know him as a rationalist. We know him as a physician. We have the Svarim, the books, I should say, that the Rambam wrote on medicine. We know that the Rambam was the Sultan's personal physician. So here you have the Rambam, who's the king of Mada, if you could say, of science, of philosophy, of whatever you want to call it. And none other than the Rambam is the one who's telling us that you're not allowed to learn any of these non-Torah studies or non-Torah books on Shabbos. Now that's an incredible statement. You know, it sometimes reminds me of when you read Koheles, and Koheles points out, that I had all the incredible wealth that I made for myself, the incredible pleasures that only the richest men in the world could, to make for themselves. And after all that, I realized, Hakol Hevel. It takes somebody who has everything to be able to say, it's all meaningless. It takes, the wisest of all men to tell us what's worthless. It takes somebody like the Rambam, who appreciates science and the sciences more than anyone else, to be able to tell us that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to read even science books. Now, what I want to show you is something incredible and ironic, and I think you'll enjoy this little history lesson. In the year 1305, 1306, there's an article called Chakira that's put out in Flatbush, and you can read this little note that I wrote. I actually wrote a paper on this when I was in college for English class. I wrote a paper on this polemic between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rashba, who is 100, 200, 150 years after the Rambam. There's a gigantic upheaval in the time of the Rashba in Barcelona, in Spain, where people were going off the derech because they were learning philosophy. And there was a sefer called Minchas Knaos, written by Abba Mari Milunil, and he had an incredible exchange with the Rashba, and the Rashba was recognized as the Gadol Hador of that generation. And that's why we have the incredibly long Shuvat HaRashba, which has thousands and thousands and thousands of shilas, because he was the Gadol Hador. And the Rashba, with the prompting of Abba Mari Milunil, who is very, very on fire with his concerns for all the heretical ideas that were being that were coming because of people studying all kinds of different chachmos, they made a cherem on everybody to not learn science or philosophy before the age of 25. Now, I don't have it here, but when the response to that was saying, but that means effectively, Mr. Rashba, Rabbi Rashba, that you're saying that no one's ever going to study because who's going to be studying after 25? If you haven't studied before 25, the response was, yes, I know. But nevertheless, this was, now I want to show you the lashon of the cherem in the year 1305. This is the lashon of the cherem. Again, there's a little bit of a historical lesson. I have to do with Hilchas Muktzah, but the lashon of the cherem is incredible. And we're going to see something even more incredible in a moment. Says the Rashba, says this is the lashon of the cherem that was not just the Rashba with all of Barcelona and all of the main part of big chunk of Torah Jewry at this point, goes, that means we accept upon us the family cherem for us, our families, our children, and all cherem who will come and join the Jewish people. What is the cherem? That you're not permitted. You can't learn Greek philosophy. Okay. That's not such a difficult thing. We don't learn so much Greek philosophy. That they composed with their chachmas hateva. That sounds to me like science. Maybe their science was different than our science. Maybe. Maybe not. Whether it was in their own language or it's in other languages. And we make this cherem for the next 50 years. Ad hayosef ben chamesh v'esim shana. Until he's 25 years old. And you're not allowed to teach anybody. Just like you're not allowed to learn it, so you're not allowed to teach anybody, you're not allowed to have any students before who are under the age 20, of age 25. And the reason why we're doing this is because it brings the Kfir Gemura and, God forbid, terrible things, and we want to save those who are connected to Torah. And we make an exception. Look at this line, a great line, says the Rashba, and all the Gedolim of, not all, but the Gedolim of the Rashba's time. We leave out one area of science, and that is v'hotseinu miklal, all the doctors on the call who are getting nervous right now, I'm sure they're all sweating bullets, right? V'hotseinu miklal gzeyoseinu chokhmas harfuos. The one exception that we are omitting from our cherem is the study of medicine. Oh, isn't it science? What do you see from this line? You see that the Rambam, that the Rashba and this cherem was clearly outlawing all sciences. That means astronomy and botany and I guess maybe even animal anatomy and animal biology, everything except for chokhmas harfuos, medicine. Why? So because of that, we're going to have a heter for studying medicine, but all other sciences, now again, he's not talking about Shabbos. He's talking about in general. It's prohibited to, you're not allowed to go to college and be a science major. I don't know, according to this, maybe not allowed to go to college and be a history major either, or certainly not a philosophy major. Maybe you could be like an accounting major, that might be okay, but this is a very wide-ranging cherem. And look what he says. We know exactly when this happened, to the day. We made this cherem, look at what he said. Fabulous. They made this cherem on Shabbos. I would have thought maybe you have to not make a cherem on Shabbos. I don't know. Not holding that sugya. It says, we made the cherem on Shabbos, Dvar Parshas Dvarim in the summer. What year? The year, you could do the math, 1305. And Parshas Dvarim, Shabbos Parshas Dvarim in the summer of 1305, this cherem went out, and the Rashba Udi Yimei prohibited all science other than medicine to be learned by all Jews below the age of 25 years old. And in the polemics that happened at that time, it was clear that they realized that they were going against the Rambam, who seems to permit all these things. And they realized that, and they said, even though the Rambam was great and we love the Rambam, well, what can we do? We have to prohibit this for our community because otherwise we're going to lose our children to philosophy and to all these sciences that are going off the derech. So I'm not telling you that this cherem applies nowadays. If I read the cherem correctly, again, there are different versions. There's a first version, then there's another version. If I read this version correctly, I think it's only 50-year cherem. I'm not telling you that this cherem continues nowadays, but what I do want to now come back to our sugya and show you something incredible. The Rambam, who holds you're allowed to study all kinds of sciences, says that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to read any book other than Torah. The Rashba, who, again, nothing to do with Shabbos, who says you're never allowed to study science below the age of 25, he's the one who permits you on Shabbos to read science books. So we have an incredible irony. So nobody could say that because the Rashba was more loved science more or more permissive with science, that's why he allowed the learning of science on Shabbos. And the Rambam, who was a didn't like science, that's why he ostered learning all of the books. It's the exact opposite. So you see something incredible about Talmidei Chachamim and Poskim. You see that they don't inject a general worldview. When it comes to a Shailah Halacha, you deal with the Shailah Halacha. Whatever your worldview, you've got all kinds of other aspects. The Rambam loved science and loved philosophy and thought it was important in all different kinds of ways. But he still held in the Shailah of Hilchot Shabbos, there's a Gzeira that you might come to reach Dari Hadyotos. And therefore, it's going to be Asr on Shabbos to read anything, any book, all the Hamodiyahs and all the Mashpacha magazines, no offense to Tyler Zahar if he's on this call, and no books and no reading and no, other than of course, the Torah comments and the Divrei Torah in those magazines, all that is Asr according to the Rambam, period. The Rashba, who normally during the week is very strict and doesn't allow any science or philosophy during the week, but when it comes to Shabbos, he said, Mutar l'chatchila, again, these are just two separate things. This is one you realize. One was a reaction to the historical issues of the time and people, children going off the derech, and the other is a question of Hilchot Shabbos. Obviously, two separate and unrelated points. But I just wanted to show you that contrast where you have the Rambam, who is Mr. Science, says that on Shabbos it's usher to learn science, and the Rashba, who came out so strongly against studying science, says that it's Mutar l'chatchila to read science books on Shabbos. So I just thought that contrast was a fabulous historical irony. Okay, but now back to our show.
Now, but does the Rashba hold that it was Chirin before or after he published the Tshuva and Astrolab?
You're asking a great question. I have to check the date on the Tshuva. I'm sorry, I don't know. I should have done that. You're asking a great question. Yeah, but the point is, I'm not trying to bring any, I'm not saying that, I'm not questioning anything of the halachas. I'm just pointing out the historical context that makes it such a fascinating irony that the Rashba, who at some point prohibited science, is the one who says that science, reading science books on Shabbos is Motel Chetchila. That's just a fascinating historical irony. I just thought was incredible. Okay, so now let's try to get toward the Shulchan Aruch. So we saw Machlokas, Rambam, and Rashba. Comes the Beit Yosef, Moreno Beit Yosef, Maran HaBeit Yosef, and he quotes the Rashba, he quotes the Rambam. So what is he going to do? So let's see what he says in the Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch, again, we're not going to read the Beit Yosef, because it just says Kotzer Rashba B'tshuva, that it's Mutter. However, the Rambam says that it's Aser. Oh, by the way, let's just read this one line. The Beit Yosef, when he quotes the Rambam that we learned earlier, when the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnah told us that all books, everything's Aser to read, except for Torah. Look how the Beit Yosef quotes the Rambam. Miladat and Rambam. You're not allowed to learn any books, read any books other than Tanakh and its Perusha, meaning Torah. Efsher, look what the Rambam says. This is Beis Yosef saying. According to the Rambam, that you're not allowed to read secular, non-holy books, Efsher to Latampla Nami Aser. Wow. Do you see what the Beis Yosef is projecting into the Shita Tarambam? The Rambam who says that you're not allowed to read a book will presumably hold that all books and magazines, certainly newspapers, are all muktzah. Why? Because you can't read it. So even if you hold it's a kli, if you hold it's not a kli, so maybe it's like a etzav avanim. But if you hold it as a kli and has a din kli, it's a kli shem lachta l'isr. That's what comes out, says the Beit Yosef. The logic is, and look how he concludes, who had an astrolabe? Then if we assume that the Rambam, again, the Rambam never said the word astrolabe. The one who equated books with astrolabe was the Rashba. But the Rambam who said you're not allowed to read a book, and the Rashba told us that presumably books are in astrolabes are the same. The Rashba was saying that Lahakil. And the Rambam who says that a book is Aser, the Beis Yosef is just using the logic of the Rashba to equate an astrolabe in a book and applying it and supplanting it, projecting it on top of the Rambam. That the Rambam who says that books are Aser is going to hold that astrolabes should also be Aser to handle. So even though the Rambam never talked about astrolabes, he was just talking about reading. But the Rashba already said a beautiful svara that no one's really questioning, that whatever is written in a book should be the same thing that's, you know, etched on an astrolabe. Whatever is etched on an astrolabe is the same as reading a book. If one is mutter, then the other is mutter. If one's utter, then the other is utter. So even suggests Maran Beit Yosef that even the Rambam, who says you're not allowed to read a book, should also apply to you're not allowed to read the imprints on an astrolabe. That's, and therefore should also be muktzah. That's the Beit Yosef's knesh, his addition in the sugya. So let's see how he paskins Rambam and Rashba. Which way? Comes to Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch presents us with not a clear position. HaRashba Matzil Taltel HaAstrolabe Shabbos V'chein Sefrei Chachmos. Again, this is in Hilchos Muktzah. And therefore, in Hilchos Muktzah, he's just telling us the Muktzah component. But presumably, the Muktzah component is just an outgrowth of whether you're allowed to read it or not. So the Rashba says you're allowed to handle an astrolabe, and so if you're allowed to handle science books, National Geographic magazine, well, of course, because he says you're allowed to read them. According to the Rambam, it's a good question if they're Muktzah. What does that mean? I thought the Rambam said it's Usher. No. The Rambam says it's Usher to read them. Based on the fact that it's Usher to read them, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, is suggesting it's probably also Usher to handle them. But that the Rambam never spoke about handling books. The Rambam only spoke about not reading books. It was the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch's own suggestion. That's what he says. I'm not sure, possibly, probably. It's probably also Muktzah, but I can't be certain. Okay. So what do we have? You opened up the Shulchan Aruch, and we're back where we started. The Shulchan Aruch just tells us it's a machlokas. What do we do? Rabbi say, let's learn the Gra together. This is the Gra in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch itself. It says the Gra, Ayin Siman Shin Zayin Sif Yud Zayin. That is not Hilchos Motzah. That's a Si'if that we're going to see in a moment. That's a Si'if where he talks about, I'm just rolling down so you can see where that Shulchan Aruch is. That Si'if that the Shulchan Aruch, that the Gra is suggesting that we look at, we'll get a chance to look at it. That's talking about the Halachas of Shabbos that relate to speech, relate to speaking, and relate to Amira B'Shabbos, and reading things on Shabbos. So we'll look there soon. But let's look what the Rambam says in the meantime, what the Gra says in the meantime. HaRambam Midame L'Shtori Hedyotos. The Rambam compares reading science books to Shtar Hedyot, which is a Gemara that we'll see in a moment, where there's an Isvet Rabbanon to read a Shtar Hedyot. It's a gigantic question what those two words mean, Shtar Hedyot. The word means a plebeian text, they're non-holy text. But is that talking about financial documents? Is it talking about letters of, friendship letters to a pen pal? Is it talking about the newspapers? We'll see. That will be a discussion that we're not going to get into at length now. But either way, the Gra is telling us the Rambam, who says that you're not allowed to read anything other than Torah, is because he compares all books in the world to Shtari Hedyot. And since Shtari Hedyot are Aser, we'll see that that means all literature. Aval HaRashba, continue to the Gra. This happens to be an incredibly easy Gra to read. Usually the Gras are impossible to read, but this Gra is very easy, very clearly written out. Aval HaRashba is related to Lo Dami. Now, the issue of books have nothing to do with Shtari Hedyot. Shtari Hedyot are Aser, and books are Mutter. We'll see what he says about it in a minute to explain the next line. What does the Gra conclude? Umistavra kitvarav. And it seems to me, says the Gra, that the Rashba is right. That the Rashba who holds that that regular books are not considered included in Shtari Hedyotos, the Rashba is right, and therefore, I think he's right, and therefore, what should come out of the Gra is going like the Rashba? He's siding with the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch that it is permitted to read books on Shabbos.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We'll skip the rest of the Gra, but you see that the Pesach of the Gra is Lahakel, that you are permitted to read books. He's citing like the Rashba that is permitted to read books on Shabbos. So now let's take it to the second half of the Shir to understand, we actually did two-thirds of it, let's go to the last third of the Shir, to understand why the Rambam answered reading all reading material on Shabbos other than Torah topics, which is, I have to say, going to be very hard, because I think most people in our community probably do read the Mishpacha magazine and not just the Divrei Torah. So are we going to have to tell Avi Lazar that he has to put a big sign on the front of Mishpacha that you're not allowed to read this on Shabbos, except for the Divrei Torah? Maybe we should split the magazine in half, or have a Divrei Torah magazine and then a non-Divrei Torah magazine, and one is Mukta, one's not. Let's understand where the Rambam comes from so we can appreciate why the Rambam indeed says everything is Mukta. So that goes back to a Mishnah in Shabbos. Any questions so far on what we said? I feel like I just don't feel like I'm talking to a camera. Any comments? Hold on.
I'm sure we're all attentive whether we have comments or not.
I know.
Every word. We're good.
Yeah. Okay, fine, just making sure. Okay, so let's now go to, it's a little disconcerting sometimes for myself. Okay, let's now go back and look at this Mishnah. Look at this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, it's not talking about reading on Shabbos. The Mishnah is talking about what happens if there's a fire. So you'll have to save certain books. Because they call this a sefer Torah. If there's a fire, we're not going out. What's outside? Is there a carmelist outside? So the Mishnah says, kol kitzvei kodesh matzilin asam efnei adleki. You're allowed to save all kitzvei kodesh. That means sefer Torah, neviim, ksuvim. Says the Mishnah, Bein Shekor Ben, Bein Shein Kor Ben, whether you read them or not. I mean, as Rashi says, whether you read them like the Maftir, or I mean, the Haftorahs, or whether they're things that you don't read. Like maybe we never read Mishlei in Shul. We never read Eov in Shul. So let's say the Shul would have a Megillas Eov. You're allowed to save, or somebody has a Megillas Eov, even though it's never read in Shul as a Haftorah, you're allowed to take it out and save it from a burning fire. Oh, says the Mishnah. So why aren't you allowed to learn Nevi'im and Ksuvim on Shabbos? With Ma Ein Koran Bahan, right? That's pretty big, because we just have our Shari Learning Initiative, and all the women are signed up, and Parashat Merom is just about finished with all of Nach, and here they're going to do a Shabbos afternoon, which is an explicit Mishnah, that you're not allowed to learn Nevi'im and Ksuvim, you're not allowed to learn Torah on Shabbos afternoon. With Ma Ein Koran Bahan, with Bittul Beit HaMedrash. Let's see what that means. What is Bittul Beit HaMedrash? So I want to share this Rashi with you. Rashi explains, why is there an Isser to learn Nevi'im and Ksuvim? This Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to learn again, even Torah, on Shabbos afternoon, because of Bittul Beit HaMedrash. Why? Because these things, learning Nevi'im and Ksuvim, is pleasant. It's Moshech HaSalev. You know, you read some things, when you're learning Gemara, you have to fight to be able to read Gemara. When you read some of these, lighter books, you can sit and read it for hours and hours, you don't fall asleep, you open up a Gemara, you fall asleep in 7 minutes. Why? Why is it? The answer is because of Moshech HaSalev. Oh, so what? Oops, 1 second, I'm sorry. Ubishabbos, says Rashi, there's Rashi on the Mishnah. Ubishabbos, so you dorshin drosh l'balabatim. On Shabbos, the rabbi would dash into the balabatim, right? I don't know if they had a daf yomi in Rashi's time, or in the Mishnah's time. on during the week, people worked hard. They worked all week. But on Shabbos, they were off from work, and they were off from work. So the drasha was an opportunity. V'tocha drasha, ho'yumor lehem hilchas isser v'heter. The rabbi would teach them halacha. You think the rabbi's drushes on Shabbos afternoon was, all kinds of philosophical ideas and learning of Black Gemara? No. The rabbi had to teach people what to do, what not to do. And it's better, as Rashi has his understanding of the Mishnah, better than him that they should learn the halacha to know what to do than to learn Iyov and Mishlei and Tehillim and Malachim and Yeshua and Yechezkan Yirmiah. Because the people have to know what to do. And therefore, the Chachamim made an Isser all the way back in the time of the Mishnayos, going back 2,000 years, an Isser for people to learn Tanakh, to make sure that they go to the rabbi's drushes so they could learn the halachas that the rabbi wants to teach his community. That's the Mishnah with Rashi. Comes the Gemara, and the Gemara goes into a little bit more of a detail why and when and where this Isser of learning Tanakh is. So let's clarify, let's take at least one line here. Shmuel's position is whether it's the place that there's a shul nearby or not a shul nearby, let's look at the time on the clock. Are you allowed to learn Tanakh on Shabbos? Depends what time of Shabbos. Bizman Beit HaMedrash, through the time of Beit HaMedrash, we'll see what that means in Rashi in a minute, ain't current. You can't open up a Tanakh during the rabbi's drasha time. We'll see when that was. There's a specific time. Shalom Bizman Beit HaMedrash, current. When it's not a time that the rabbi will give a drasha, you're Friday night, the rabbi's not giving a drasha, you can learn all the Tanakh you want, no problem, doesn't bother me, doesn't bother anybody, go ahead, enjoy. And it's not us, because it's not anything, it's not secular material, as the Rambam would have it. But we're not up to the Rambam yet. We're trying to figure out the underpinnings of where the Rambam deduced, possibly, that you're not allowed to read other Svarim. So comes Rashi and says, when is it that you're not supposed to learn? Bizman beis medish kodem achila hayudarshim. The rabbi's drasha would be before lunch. Why? Interesting. Look at the next line. Shalom bizman beis medish. You're allowed to read because the rabbi's not giving his drasha. Why isn't he giving his drasha at that point? La'achar achila lo darshu. Why mishum shichras? Wow. I would have said a different word. I think most people after Shabbos lunch, after they have their challenge, I don't think the issue is that they're shikr. I think the issue is that the challenge gets to them and they're fast asleep. That's nice. That will be my emendation if I had to write my own Perish Rashi on Shabbos Kuftez 9. That's what I would have said. But Rashi says here in Shabbos Kuftez 9 with Bays that after lunch the rabbi wouldn't darshan because it's pointless. Everyone's shikr. Okay, maybe that's what he means. Shikr from too much challenge.
Is it the rabbi or the congregation?
Should I be offended? I'll let you decide that one. You're my next door neighbor. I think the rabbi has to know when it's smart to give a drasha, when it's not smart to give a drasha. If you know everyone's going to be sleeping, there's no point in giving a drasha. If you know everyone's going to be, sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes the rabbi should give a drasha to help people go to sleep. That's also a chesed that the rabbi does to the community. But we won't talk about that now. So that's one explanation. So we just said you're not allowed to learn these other things. Why? Because the bittul beis hamedrash, people won't go to the rabbi's drasha, and learning the halachas that the rabbi wants to teach is more important than people learning, having their seder in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which is very enjoyable, but not as practical. That's one way of looking at this Isser that the Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel presents. Comes Rav Ashi and said, no, a different way to look at it. He says, why is it that you're not allowed to read these even though it's Nach? Nothing to do with the rabbi's drasha. Kedesha Yomru, so that people, so that the community, so that the Balabatim will realize, so that everybody will realize, if you're not allowed to learn Shlomo HaMelech's writings, and David HaMelech's writings, and the Navi Amos, and Chagai, and Malachi, and Zechariah, and Yonah, wow, if the rabbis aren't letting us read a Tanakh, clearly we can't open up a secular book. Clearly, right? If the rabbi's saying, okay, this has nothing to do with Bittul Beis Medrash, this is a totally different reason, totally different rationale. Nothing to do with the rabbi's drasha, and we want to make sure that people go to hear the rabbi's drasha. Unrelated to that, this is so that the whole community could have an epiphany of realizing that how in the world could I think of opening up a secular book on Shabbos if I'm not allowed to read some Divrei Kedusha, I'm not allowed to read certain parts of Torah. Certainly, I would never have a havamin of open up any secular book or magazine or newspaper, God forbid, on Shabbos. Is that right? That's what Rabbi Nechemi seems to be saying. That's two rationales of why there's this Isser of learning Tanakh on Shabbos. Says Rashi, what is this terrible shtari hadyotos that we want to make sure Jews do not come to, God forbid, read? Look at Rashi. Shtari hadyotos, Rashi says two things. If he stopped at the first one, it wouldn't be such a big deal, but he doesn't. Shtari hadyotos kagon shel cheshbonos. Oh, bills, accounting. That I understand. God forbid, we don't want to be involved in our bills and our accounting and invoices. That's what we don't want to rent receipts. That we don't want to deal with that kind of stuff on Shabbos. Because that will just put us in the wrong frame of mind. That will get us thinking about business. That will get us depressed when we think about what happened to the stock market for the past month. What happened to our pension plan that no longer exists. That's not what we don't want. We don't want to be thinking about that on Shabbos. So that's also that story. So we don't want to come to read that. But that's not what Rashi concludes with. He says, you know what else is included in Shtari HaYotos? also included in Shtar Hediotos is Igaros Hashluchos Limso Chepetz. Letters that you write to your pen pal. Hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you in so long. I miss you. How's the family? How are the kids? How are your parents? Rashi said that's also included in Shtar Hediotos. Fascinating. So says Rashi, that you're not allowed to read, at least according to the second explanation of the Gemara, Rabbi Nechemi's explanation, you're not allowed to learn certain parts of Tanakh, so you shouldn't come to read business or any writing, even friendly letters, you shouldn't come to read. Comes the Magen Mishnah on the Rambam that we, on a Rambam, we don't have to go to the Rambam right now, but comes the Magen Mishnah and says the following. He's talking about the Isser of Shtar Hediotos, which we saw Rashi's definition. He quotes Rashi here, of course, that it means both cheshbonos as well as friendship letters. And then, look at this. Says the Magen Mishnah, this is a different definition. This is machlokas what this term Shtar Hediotos means. What is this Isser of Shtar Hediotos? The Rashba has a different definition of Shtar Hediotos. HaRashba Zal Kasav, well, Inyan Kriya Be'igra Shalom B'Shabbos Aser, you shouldn't read friendship letters. Why? Because it's a gzera that you might come to read Shtar Hediotos. And what are Shtar Hediotos? Shtar Hediotos, which are business letters. Okay, so what we have now is a machlokas. Rashi says that Shtar Hediotos, this thing that Chazal Aser of Shtar Hediotos, are all writing, all secular material. The Rashba says, again, there's nothing to do with the Rashba by astrolabs and science textbooks. The Rashba said, maybe we'll see. The Rashba said, no, Shtar Hediotos and Chazal Asard are business transactions. Shtar Mekach HaMemkar. Now look at the magic of the Magen Mishnah. Maybe that should be, that's the title of a book. The magic of the Magen Mishnah. Look at this. The Magen Mishnah is going to connect two things. You remember that Rambam that we saw earlier today, right? When we started this morning's shiur. We started with the Rambam and the Magen Mishnah. Where was he? Remember the Rambam, this Magen Mishnah, the Rambam Perish HaMishnayah said that you're not allowed to read any secular reading material on Shabbos, except for Torah. Even if it's science, it's wise, it's intelligent, it's good, quality reading, you're not allowed to read on Shabbos. He didn't really explain, did he? Well, he did. He said that you're not allowed to, that's why you're not allowed to read lists, because you might come to, you're not allowed to read anything. Comes to the Magen Mishnah and explains where that comes from. Let's go back down all the way down, and we're going to see this Magen Mishnah's magic. He quotes the Rambam that I just told you. Kasav Rabbeinu B'Perish HaMishnah, the reason why you're not allowed to read off your list of what's on the menu and who your guests are, why? Because Shema Yikra Igaros Shalom B'Shabbos, and it's also to read these letters because it's also to read anything other than Torah. Levatzif HaNavuos B'Perish HaMishnah, also Likra B'Shabbos V'Yontif. Now, what do you see, says the Magen Mishnah? Why does the Rambam ask her reading everything? Says the Magen Mishnah, now I understand that Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah. So you know why he says you're not allowed to read anything at all in the world? Only Divrei Torah? Because he must hold that what's the definition of Shtar Hediotos that it's also to read? Remember, we had a machlokas where the Shtar Hediotos are all writing, both business as well as friendship letters, like Rashi said, or the Rashba who said it's only also to, Shtar Hediotos are only business letters? Says the Magen Mishnah, it must be the Rambam who says that you're only allowed to learn Torah and not allowed to read anything else. It must be that he holds, like Rashi, the Rambam who says not allowed to read anything is because he holds that what is Shtar Hediotos that Chazal Asard? That Shtar Hediotos is a very broad category. Shtar Hediotos that Chazal Asard include both business documents, of course, obviously, as well as friendship letters. Basically, everything covers the gamut from business to friendship. Everything is all considered Shtar Hediotos and therefore Asar. And since the Rambam subscribes to that opinion, everything in all the Shtar Hediotos, therefore the Rambam holds that everything is Asar to read because that's what Shtar Hediotos are. The only thing that are not Shtar Hediotos are, according to Rashi and the Rambam, is Torah, Nevi'im. And that is what the Rambam must hold. So if we come out where we are at this point, we're coming out that all reading material, according to the Rambam, is Asar. Now we understand why it says, because they're all considered Shtar Hediotos, all reading material. And the Rashba says that no, these two Rashbas might also work together. Because what did the Rashba say a minute ago when he was defining Shtar Hediotos? He said that Shtar Hediotos is, the Rashba says Shtar Hediotos are Shtar Mekach HaMemkar, that Shtar Hediotos is only business things. So now, Shtar Hediotos only include business things, so what did the Rashba, what could the Rashba in our sugya, if I help his muksa, allow me to do? He could allow me to read science books. Because again, we now just saw that the Rambam and the Rashba are Lishita Sayhu. The Rambam and the Rashba argue what are Shtar Hediot that are us to read. The Rambam says everything is a Shtar Hediot. So that's what the Rambam by us in Hilchas Muktzah says. You're not allowed to read any books at all, and therefore all textbooks and science books and National Geographic, and maybe the Shpacha magazines as well, are all Muktzah. Except for the Divrei Torah. The Rashba, on the other hand, says the Shtar Hediot is limited to include only business documents, and therefore the rest of the world literature, science, history, the Shpacha magazines, maybe even the New York Times. Okay, we'll leave out the Wall Street Journal and we'll leave out the Times business section. But the rest of the New York Times, maybe that's, again, if it was printed a few days ago, it wasn't printed on Shabbos, because that's definitely Muktzah. Those are all fine. You could read them. You could handle them. Because this is the Rambam and the Rashba, Lishita Sayhu. And we saw that in this Machlokas, how do we paskin? The Gra told us, as we learned earlier, going back to our Sif, which is what we are up to in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch quoted both opinions, as I showed you a moment ago, a few minutes ago, and the Gra paskins, like the Rashba, that it's mutter to read other books on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, and the Gra said, we paskin lahakel, like the Rashba, now we could fill, now things are filled up, you know, are filled out a little bit for us. We understand what it means. It means that the Rashba has a smaller, a more limited definition of what constitutes Shtar Hedyotos. And therefore, according to the Rashba, only business letters are Shtar Hedyot. All other reading material, all other literature are not considered, or most of the literature is not Shtar Hedyotos. And therefore, you're allowed to read it on Shabbos, even if it's, and when is it Aser? Now we can go back to the Rashba. When is it Aser to read Tanakh? Maybe that's only during the Rabbi Shir. So long as it's not Tanakh during the Rabbi Shir, and it's not business material, you could read all the other literature that you want, according to the Rashba, as a paskin by the Gra. Okay? So we're almost done. I think we understand our Sif in the Shulchan Aruch. What we do, what we should do, is look at one other Sif in the Shulchan Aruch, which is not Hilchas Muktzah. And this is the Sif that I told you about earlier, where, any questions? You with me? Dr. Korman, everything's good? Yeah, Ellie, everything's good?
We're good.
Okay, great. Just making sure we're all still there. Fine. So I want to add one more point in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, as you see in front of you, going back to, again, not Hilchas Muktzah, but Dinei Shabbos Hatzlim V'Dibur, talks about what you're allowed to speak
on Shabbos. If I can ask a question. So far, we have not seen a distinction outside of Cheshbonos and outside of Tanakh. We have not seen a distinction between Shtarei Hedyotos, in other words, secular reading matter of a Jewish nature and that of a non-Jewish nature. So far, even those who would approve of Hedyotos, of Shtarei Hedyotos, don't distinguish between a New York Times article and a Mishpacha article on a non-Torah topic. That, so far, is that correct?
Could you tell me in Lumsus what the distinction could or should be?
No.
Meaning, what should be the chiluk between knowing Albar from Mishpacha's cover article this past week, just so Avi Lazar is going to angry at me because I'm going to ruin his subscription rates. So this past week's cover article is who is Benny Gantz? Okay, so that's a Jewish topic, right?
Yes.
The new prime minister to be, and it's a Jewish topic. Or coronavirus in, you know, how different communities are dealing with shuls are having Zooms and all kinds of whatever coronavirus issues in our community. Okay, why should that be different than reading a science textbook or a history textbook?
So far, I don't think we've seen that distinction.
I don't hear a svara to be mechalik. Right. Tell me a svara, then we could think about, what should be the mechalik?
Well, matters of Jewish interest keep you tied to Yahadus. If it's an Orthodox, shall we say, journal, they won't take, so to speak, go astray. They will maybe give you more emunah, some of these articles that are even of a secular nature.
Oh, okay. You're saying if I read one of these, these Jewish books that are like filled with emunah, they're storybooks. Let's say storybooks, like, yeah. I don't know, Chanuch Teller. We all know Chanuch Teller's books. They're fabulous reads. They're not necessarily Torah content, but they're stories about Jewish things that always end up being, you know, serendipity and hashkacha and, you know, Hashem, you know, running the world. But you don't even have to see, even without the word of Hashem, you just see Hashem's hand in running the world.
Quasi Torah. Pseudo Torah.
It's not Torah. It's things that are inspiring. Inspiring in a good way. I hear. I will have to see. It's really
we're
about to see right now. We'll have to analyze the following Sif in Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch starts, we're going to talk about, again, going back to Simchat Zion. Siftet Zion has nothing to do with Hilchas Muktzah and has nothing to do with science books per se, but you'll see what it has to do. He's talking about literature, right? Trash literature, right? Love stories, romance novels, right? All those books that you winced when your daughter came back from the public library with these books and you winced and tried to bite your lower lip and wish she wouldn't read them, right? That's what they're talking about. Melitza to Mishal, Shalsichas Shulim, Shalsichas Chulim, Zivri Cheshek, because it's Sefer Emmanuel, Bechain Sefer Melchama. Sefer Melchama basically means history books, right? I think that's what it means, history books, I think. Unless it's fiction, unless it's like battles and you know, the romance stories, okay, that we can understand why those could be problematic, and maybe, you know, battles, glorious battles, but it's fiction, not history. So it says the Shulchan Aruch, he has some choice words for those who read these. Also, Likros Femesh Abbas, it's Aser. But he doesn't stop at that. He says it's Aser to read them even on a Tuesday afternoon in the middle of August. After all, it's a violation of Moshe of Leitzim. Not only that, if Moshe Leitzim, which is in Tanakh, is not sufficient, oh, it's only Pasuk in Tehillim, it's only the first parak of Tehillim, I don't mind violating that. It's the Shulchan Aruch. It's also a violation of a pasuk in Chumash and Vayikra. Al tifnu el ha'eli lim. I think it's in, like, was it this week's parasha or next week's parasha? Okay, and he says, of course, if it's romance novels that have a component that's inappropriate, then it's a whole different issue, that it's Megara entices the Yetzara. And anyone who writes them and copies them and publishes them and sells them, whatever, are machdi yitzarabim. Okay, but look at this incredible cool of the Ramah. For all of those of you who are good with your Hebrew skills, you might have a way out. V'nu l'datik, says the Ramah, that's only if it's written in foreign languages. But look at this kula, Rabbosai, I'm giving the kula of the year. You could read trash. You could read whatever you want. You could read garbage of garbage if it's in Hebrew. Right? That's the Rama quoting, learning out of the Medagan of Tosfos. Not only that, concludes the Rama, v'cheinag l'hakol b'zeh. You could read trash. Well, I don't know if he's talking about the trash. If it's the romance stuff, I don't think he's going to allow that. But at least the thing that we could call neutral, pariv, sichas chulin v'sofra mechamos, you know, just the history stuff, or maybe just general fiction, that if it's in Lashon HaKodesh, it's mutter. Why do you think that Rama is writing that? Anyone have a suggestion? Why do you think the Rama is permitting it if it's in Lashon HaKodesh?
Because you're going to learn Hebrew.
You're going to learn Hebrew, Beirish. Why is that important?
Because that's what this farmer has written, and you learn how to learn Torah.
Okay, so you're taking a side of a gigantic machlokes achronim. Now, I'm the son of a Hebrew professor. My father teaches, has taught Hebrew language for about 50 years. So my father is a fan of this. I don't have it on my notes, but the Rambam in Perish HaMishnah on Avos does not necessarily say what Beirish said. Beirish said that the reason why you should learn Hebrew, because if you learn Hebrew, then you're going to be able to understand you know Torah better. The Rambam says, what is an example of a mitzvah kala, right? I'll tell you mitzvah kala, the Lashon HaMishnah is, don't think that you should share the matan yodeh, the Torah Shalom Mitzvot. The Rambam says, we don't know what a schar of a mitzvah is. What we think is big might be small. We think it's small might be big. Says the Rambam, I mentioned this in the past. What's an example of a mitzvah kala meaning? You can't say mitzvah kala because the Mishnah just said, we don't know what's a big mitzvah, what's a small mitzvah. Says the Rambam, what does it mean that people call a mitzvah kala that may very well be a mitzvah gedola? Zok the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah on Avos. Diktuk Lishon HaKodesh. Diktuk Lishon HaKodesh. Beirish, so that means it's a Mefurash Rambam that there's a mitzvah, a clear mitzvah to learn Hebrew, period. Nikudah.
Which is fascinating.
Beirish, hold on, I'll take your time in a second. Beirish is suggesting, which is a Machlokes Achronim, that maybe it's because it helps you learn Torah. That could be. It might not be true. It might be that there is a fundamental, an independent mitzvah of Limud Lashon HaKodesh. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's just fascinating because the Perish Mishnah Yisrael Rambam was written in Arabic.
Yeah, because he was a realist. He wanted to see the book. That's correct. That's okay. Correct. But I would say with art school, could write that also. It's a mitzvah to learn Hebrew, but they still have to write English so people will read that. Okay.
Yep.
So again, that was really a side point. But now, let's look, and that was a backup, and now let's look right after that. Let's look at Sif Yud. Again, this is not Hilchos Muktzah. This is not Hilchos Muktzah. This is what are you allowed to read and read and speak about Shabbos. Also, Lomah B'Shabbos V'Yotiv. Zulat B'Divrei Torah. How is he paskening? He's paskening L'Hachmir like the Rambam. That the only thing that you're allowed to learn is Torah.
Yep.
And if you think he didn't say clearly enough, Vafil v'sifrei achachmos aser. Forget the trash, forget the romance, forget the fiction, even the science books, the history books, the real wisdom is aser. He's mocking me like the Rambam. But don't worry. V'yesh mishamatir. And of course he quotes, but there is the Rash, but same two opinions. Just like he quoted in Hilchos Muktzah two opinions, so too in the halakh of what reading material, he also quotes two opinions. And he concludes what we just also saw in Hilchos Muktzah, while peace for us, according to the one, the Rashba, who permits that you're allowed to read books on Shabbos, you're allowed to read science textbooks and National Geographic magazines, and maybe Mishpacha magazine on Shabbos, also Mutzal Habit, the astrolabe Shabbos. You're also allowed to look at the astrolabe, and, of course, to handle it, not just to look at it, to handle it, and to turn it upside down, and to adjust the dials, and the like. How do we paskin? Look at the Mishnah Berurah, both sides. With this, we're going to finish. V'yesh mishamatir, v'chei nogim l'hakel, like the Grah. The Mishnah Berurah goes like the Psak of the Grah. He quoted the Grah elsewhere in the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Muktzah, which I didn't quote for you, but that he says, look at the Grah, who's Mekel. Halacha is, Rabbosai, bottom line, it is permitted to use an astrolabe on Shabbos. It is permitted to read science textbooks on Shabbos. It is permitted to read history books on Shabbos. But I can't stop there because the Mishnah Berurah concludes, because of Eli Rabba, the Yerei Shamayim, Roy Lahachmir Bezeh, Ki Haramba Varan Osrim. Remember, this is a machlokas side in the Shulchan Aruch at two days. It's true, we paskin, bottom line, I can't say anyone's doing anything wrong if they do read other things, because it is mutter. But it is good to know that the Mishnah Berurah says that an Yerei Shamayim should be machmir for, you know, those who want to hold themselves to the level of Yerei Shamayim, it's Roy Lahachmir for the Shitas HaRambam, who said that all secular material is prohibited on Shabbos. So if you know somebody who's careful, what?
Rav Gruber Zechariah Levracha once told me that during the war, when he was growing up, during World War II, they permitted reading a newspaper to know where the Nazis were, at what position they were, but they needed to know that all the time, how close they're getting to their town.
Right. That might be even more of a kula than you're saying, because it's not just that he was being mekel in this chumrah. I mean, even people typically didn't read the newspaper, but maybe even if the newspaper was printed on Friday night, and it's nolad, which is really muktzah, again, that wasn't the topic of this morning's shir, but even if you hold it's really muktzah, because of nolad, because it's printed on Shabbos, we would still, of course, suspend the lachas of nolad to know where the Nazis were for life-saving purposes. Good, excellent. Yeah, that's a fabulous historical point. Now, based on everything that we learned, we basically came out with the maskana. The maskana is that Mikra Hadinit is permitted to read science textbooks, to read chachma books, to read in National Geographic, and probably also Mishpacha magazine. I will say that I believe there is a mitzvah to read history textbooks, and that's because it's a pasuk in Dvarim. Binush knows dar v'dar. Binah Shnos Avadar, contemplate the things that happened in history, in human history. So there's a mitzvah in the Torah to read history textbooks and to study history. So if, you know, if you're, you know, I guess, if your children or grandchildren ask you, why do I have to study history, you could tell them because there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Binah Shnos Avadar to be familiar with history. Maybe so you could figure out how to move forward with your life and what kind of perspective you should have moving forward. But whether that's the reason or not, Binush no Torvador is to study history, simply put. So that doesn't necessarily mean that it's Mutter on Shabbos. The Rambam might still say it's Usher. Study history on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, study history. But the Rambam will still say it's Usher to study history on Shabbos. I think that's pretty clear. At least it's a Rambam. Okay. Now let's finish up with two, so that we finish this year. If you want to leave, thanks so long. But I want to add 2 points, and that's the following 2 points. The Shuvas Yitzchak, which is a wonderful sefer on many topics, and one sefer is on Mutzah, which we quoted earlier many times, quotes Rabbi Yashiv. He says, a point that we mentioned at the very beginning of the year is that a book that you read, like a science textbook, National Geographic magazine, has it in Kli. So the fact that you read it makes it have it in Kli. Based on that, what will be the status of a telephone book? Right? Rabbosai, telephone books have gone out when iPhones came in. We have all of our contacts and on our Google and on our phones. We don't need telephone books. But those of us who remember the telephone book, remember that when you had a little kid and you didn't have a booster chair, you'd sit them up on the telephone book. So that would be great if you could move a telephone book with Tzorach Gufo. But is a telephone book a Kli at all? Is a book a Kli? Maybe it's not even a Kli. You don't get it. You don't do a tashmish with it. You don't grab things with it and screw things in with it and do things to, you don't maneuver things with the book. Is a book a Kli? Says Rabbi Yashiv, the very fact, again, you have it highlighted right there, Sifrei Chachma Omdim Yichod L'Kriyas Pitzmi, that since you have books that are designated for reading, that gives them a Shem Kli. That's a good Kli. And therefore, Sefer Telephonim, Shem Kli Olav. Even though it might be Kli Shem Lachtel Iser, because the primary use of a telephone book is to look at telephone numbers, nevertheless, you could treat it like any other Kli Shem Lachtel Iser, which is Mutzah Tzorach Gufo, for example, to prop up something, if you want to prop something up, a proper kid's bottom up so he sits higher at a table, that would be Mutzah. Okay, that's one point. And finally, binoculars. Binoculars. Hold on, please. Binoculars. No, he's not on this call right now. But somebody somebody who sometimes calls in bought my son for his bar mitzvah a binoculars. So I wanted to call him out, but he's not on this call right now. So binoculars. Are binoculars going to be mutter or aser? You want to go bird watch? You want to go and look at some birds? There's a beautiful bird in that tree high up in your backyard. You want to get a close-up of that? It's a cardinal. It's a blue jay.
Why is it different in glasses? It's a mutter.
Because glasses are a malbush. They're not just a tool. They're a malbush. There's also
there's
no
adjustment involved.
With the binoculars, you have to adjust the the focal point and you adjust that axis in the middle. I don't know what the right word is called, but look at the let's finish with this fascinating point. It's until Yehuda says, "Ein shom ister b'chis takus b'mashkefes." I think mashkefes is binoculars or a telescope. V'chivuna. That word v'chivuna means and adjusting it and aiming it and adjusting it for Shabbos, because that's derech tashmish. As long as it's a tzorech, it's mutter. So again, based on what we said, that the astrolabe is mutter, should be no different astrolabes and telescopes than microscopes. I guess if it's not I don't think a microscope should be any more us than a telescope. Again, as long as it's not an electric microscope with the light and all. But if it's a theoretical, if it's Muslim machlis kitzar and kiss, it's an expensive tool, that could be a different issue. But putting that aside, a simple binocular, simple telescope, simple microscope, that's not very expensive, should be mutter just like svarim or mutter. The only thing that I wonder, and this I don't have an answer to, with the Rambam, who says you're not allowed to read a book, would he say you're not allowed to use a telescope or a microscope or binoculars? That's a question that I wonder about. Maybe you could say that, no, the Rambam asked, why the Rambam say that everything's asr? The Rambam says everything's asr because the Gzera of Shtari Hadiyotos, because he includes everything in Shtari Hadiyotos. Shtari Hadiyotos are documents, papers, books, not binoculars. So I think even the Rambam, who said that all books are asr, I think he might still permit, and even reading an astrolabe, maybe that would be considered reading, maybe it would be asr. But I think to look at, binoculars or telescope or microscope, I think even the Rambam would permit that. That's my humble suggestion.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.